This service is not for the weak of heart. This is for those who are willing to push through, to strengthen you, to give you encouragement and understanding of what the opponent, your enemy, is all about. Well, open with prayer, Father Jesus. We give you praise, glory, and honor, and we thank you for the day, the opportunity to be here. Lord, we don't take it lightly to be physically able to be here. Thank you, Lord. Bless those that aren't so well, Father. According to your word, it says, by your stripes we are healed. We claim that for our brothers and sisters in Christ, for those that we love dearly, for those that are important to us, but to the kingdom, Father. Strengthen their bodies. Give them the hope and the power through the blood of Jesus Christ. Bless this word today. Anoint it, Father, as it already is, Father. Help this vessel to bring it forth according to your will, not my own. My words and thoughts be yours, Father. I empty this vessel of me. Fill me up, Holy Spirit. Give the hearts that are listening now and in the future, Father, understanding. I bind and rebuke confusion. Let the word take root and grow and prosper according to your word. It will not come back void, and I claim that in Jesus' name. Let everything that's done in this house today to be glorified, honor you, Lord. Those that come in, let them see you in us. Let them feel your love, your mercy, your grace, your joy, your peace, the things that this world so desires but can't achieve on their own. It can only be achieved in you. Let them come to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I want to talk about how to live a victorious life. In essence, it's how to live like Jesus. The scripture is all about Jesus. It's about who he is, who the Father is, and essentially who you are in him. We tend to read the Bible and think about this is something from the past. This is what it was. But I'm here to tell you that's what it is, and that's who you are. So I want to start with Matthew 4 in the New Living Translation. And y'all keep me lifted. The enemy brought a illness to my body Friday, and so I've been dealing with it for a couple days. But I stand before you today as a child of God who is still victorious regardless of what is going on. And that's what the Christian life is all about. Matthew 4, New Living Translation, first verse. We'll probably read the first 11. Matthew 4. And then we'll skip over to Judges 7 to end. How to live like Jesus. Many of us, we approach life as defeated. And as a child of God, you are so much more than that. You are more than a conqueror, the word says. But too many times, when our flesh comes against us or when the enemy comes against us, our opponent, we take a route that's not ordained by God and definitely not part of your destiny and inheritance as a child of God. So I want to just read the temptation of Jesus and give you my insight that the Lord has given me on it. New Living Translation reads, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry." The leading of the Holy Spirit will take you through times, wildernesses, where the flesh is being removed. If you allow it, you have that choice. You don't have to. You can yield to your flesh. You can live like you've always lived, but you won't live in the power of God. And we want to see the Lord, the Holy Spirit, move in their lives, but a lot of times we're not willing to yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we go through wildernesses. Sometimes we go through storms. And all along, we're having what we talked about a couple weeks ago is called the circumcision of the heart. The Holy Spirit is showing us and guiding us to these areas of our lives that the Lord wants to be king and ruler of. But we haven't quite submitted to that yet. It's not to make you less or weak. It's actually to make you stronger. Because anything he has, Paul said, when I'm weak, I'm actually strong. Because that's when the flesh doesn't have control. And God and the Holy Spirit is taking over. And I'm able to do things that in my flesh I know I couldn't do. So, in the wilderness, in the storm, in the temptation, it's not always the enemy bringing it to you. Sometimes it is your decisions, it's consequences. But sometimes the Holy Spirit is leading you into a place that needs to be corrected, that needs the Holy Spirit to move in for you. Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Notice he was very hungry, it says. But during this time, the devil came. And he said unto him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. The enemy comes to you at your weakest times. He's not going to come at you head on when he knows you can see him coming most time. He's going to come at you at your weakest moment, when you're the busiest, when things are so important, when the schedule is so full, when you can't seem to get peace of mind, that's when the enemy comes. He comes at you from the side or from behind. He comes at you through people, through your job, through your loved ones, through circumstances. He comes through those areas in difficult times. And he challenges who you are, if you are the Son of God. He checks your identity. He wants to know for sure if you know who you know you are and you know who God is. But what did Jesus do? He brought the scripture to him. And that is your weapon, child of God. He says, but Jesus told him, no, the scripture says, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. I think sometimes we're trying to live life without the word of God, and you don't feel like you're living. Do you ever feel like you're not living? You need to check yourself and see if the word of God is truly the bread that you're living on every day. Are you putting TV and music and your people's words into your lives and letting that be your truth, and it is not how you can live. That's not living according to the scriptures. We live by the bread alone, not by bread alone, but by the word of God. Jesus was hungry, but he was fighting with the word of God. Even though in his spirit, in his physical body, he was weak, he was using the strength of the words of God. And child of God, that is how you are strong. Paul learned that. He says, when I am weak, I am strong. He learned when it was not him, but through the Holy Spirit, through God's word, that he lived and fought. That is where he found his strength. 2 Corinthians 12 and 9 says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. In verse 10, Paul says he delights in his weakness, in insults, in hardship, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. What an attitude to take in these times, some of the worst times of our lives. It's okay to be weak in your physical body, in your own ability. Because that is the time, if you draw from the scripture, from the bread of life, from Jesus, from his word, then you'll find yourself in a strength that you didn't know you had. But let me tell you, Jesus overcame him so that we could. In every step of this scripture, this story, he overcame the enemy so that we too can do that. Are you living by the Word of God? Are you submitting to the Word of God? Let's go on. Verse 5, then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple. Did you not know the enemy could inhabit such a place? Scripture just shows you that. Ain't everybody with you is for you, even those sitting in these chairs. And he said, if you are the Son of God, again, do you know who you are? Do you know who you serve? He says, jump off. For the scripture says, and he quotes the scripture. If I'm not mistaken, this is in Psalms. It says, he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Like I said, even those in this place, even those that can quote scripture, they may be with you. They may not be for you. Jump. So what do we learn? I love that he said to jump. He said, jump off. Go ahead and jump. His will, his timing. He's pushing you in directions to... Go ahead and jump. He wants you to. Man, there's a whole lifetime of sermons and just waiting for God. That's the hardest. You have gone out of my will. I'm driving to this interview and I'm like, well, Lord, do you want me just turn around? What do I do? He said, this is not my way. So don't think just because you teach, preach, sing, play, whatever, that you can't get ahead of God. You can. You can. Be patient. Right. Exactly. Yep. Right. Yeah. Mhm. They did. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes. Right. It opened up a whole new can of worms, and we all know Isaiah and Jeremiah that talks about God has a plan for you. Plan for His way, His timing. It's perfect. Isaiah 55:8-9, know that my thoughts and my ways are higher than yours, basically. That's all it says. You wait on me. I have the better plan. Let me put it in layman's term. I don't know how many of you all, but I'll be the first one to say, he did have the better plan. I've even in my Christian walk, have gotten ahead of God. I've jumped when I should have stayed. boy, staying hurts. Oh, it's painful. It's painful to know what the next step is and what is going to be, and have to sit and wait for it to happen in God's will and God's timing. Yes, he did. And he even told his mother, he said, it is not yet my time. You know, many times you'll hear that in the scripture, it's not yet my time. So, you know, he learned obedience up to the cross, it says. Up to the cross. So, we're not going to be any different. Not going to be any different. So, Jesus responds in verse 7. The scripture also says, you must not test the Lord your God. Lack of faith. If you read that scripture and look online to what the scholars say, they said it's a lack of faith. Let's go on. Verse 8. Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. And he says, I will give it all to you, he said, if you will kneel down and worship me. That's all he wants. He wants someone who will worship him. All he wants. He's like exchanging what is temporal for the eternal. We do that constantly in our life. If we're not careful, we have to be very careful. What looks good and looks tangible, and it's easy to migrate to those things that we see and feel and understand, and it's familiar. But sometimes you've got to wait and check it. Is this something that's going to make me a slave? Is it just a temporal thing? You've got to look at that. Are you exchanging something that's temporal for an eternal? How often do we end up trading our souls and becoming slaves to what we thought was a great deal? Galatians 5:1 said it is from freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be buried or burdened again by a yoke of slavery. I remember giving my life, to God, and feeling this burden of lifting, this freedom that I couldn't understand. And that's what it was talking about, this yoke of slavery. Slavery to my flesh, slavery to the enemy, slavery to my mindsets that were not, in line with the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You are free. And so many times we walk out this door and we go right back into slavery with the things that we do and say, and the way that we think and behave. We've traded the eternal for the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Romans 6:6-7 in the New Living Translation says, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ, so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. Thank you. For when we died with Christ, meaning in the spiritual, we were set free from the power of sin. Sin no longer has power over you. So let's look at the temptations. Are you submitting and using God's word as the bread alone? Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. What's your bread? Are you jumping ahead of God? Are you trying to work things out on your own self, working things out on your own flesh, trying to make things happen for yourself? And the last one is, are you a slave to anything? If it's not a slave to God and His ways and His will, then you're a slave to something other than Him. Jesus said, if you're not with us, you're against us. If you're not gathering, you're scattering. There's no fine line there. It's either or. Right. There is no lukewarm. Right? There is no lukewarm. Right. I was impressed with the story of Anyways, when he was walking around and looking at the, and I preached on it a couple of weeks ago, and he met the angel of the Lord, which if you understand the scripture, that was actually Jesus because he worshiped him, and no angel would take worship from a human because they know their place. But he said, "Are you friend or are you foe?" And he says, "I am neither. At any moment, whatever God says, then I will be to you. I can be your friend or I can be your foe. It's your decision. Stay in the will of God." I want to go to Judges 7, and I want to talk briefly about Gideon. And it's a very familiar story. We tell it in Sunday school. We teach our children about it, or we should. Gideon come out against the Midianites with 22,000 or 32,000. It was a lot. 22,000, I think it was. Altogether, men. And God says, "You got too many. You've got too many." He says, "First thing I want you to do is whoever is timid or afraid may leave this mountain." Fear. Timid means you have a lack of courage. Child of God, the days are and the times are where we cannot be lack of courage. We cannot have let fear have its way with us. The times are coming. The end times are coming. Too many things are happening. And even in your own life, you want to be a victorious Christian. Fear has no place in the army of God. Timidity has no place in the army of God. You've got to be confident in who He is and who you are. You've got to walk with authority and power. God said, "Send them home." 10,000 people left. 10,000 men left. These are the ones that showed up willing to fight. He says, if you have fear or timidity, go home. You're just going to get one of us killed. It's no different in the army of God. This is why we teach and preach like we do, to teach you and train you to be courageous, to be fearless. And we can be that way because of Jesus Christ. It's nothing within us. It's when we let Him operate and through His authority. So he had like 12,000. And he took them to the water according to God's command. He said, divide them up. Divide them up. Divide the men into two groups. In one group, put all those who cup water in their hands and lap it with their tongue like a dog. And in the other group, put those who kneeled down and drank with the mouth directly from the stream. He said only 300 men drank from their hands. All the other ones got down on their knees and drank from the mouth. And the Lord told Gideon, with those 300 men, I will rescue you and give you victory over the enemy. What was the difference? The ones that got down on their knees, they looked like they were submissive, don't they? They didn't want to get dirty. They didn't want to get their hands in the water. They don't want to do their part. We have a lot of Christians in the churches today who look the part but aren't the part. All that's with you is not for you. This battle, this Christian life requires those who will get down, scoop it up, drink it down, let it get in and change you, and you're not afraid to get your hands dirty. You're not afraid to let the work happen. You're not afraid to go forward with whatever the Holy Spirit is bringing to you. The water usually signifies the Holy Spirit, the cleansing of the Holy Spirit. This walk, it's no joke. I taught the series, The Game of Life. You're playing for your very soul, but you're not just playing for yours. You're playing for every generation, every person that you talk to, every life that you touch in your daily life makes an impact. I want to see my children in heaven. I want to see my grandchildren in heaven. I want to see your children, your grandchildren in heaven. We got to get together and live this life like Jesus did. Fearless. Was it easy? No. It was not easy. Who is my mother? Who is my father? Did I come to make peace? No, I came with the sword, he said. Anything that's not of God has to go. Will you live like Jesus? Will you live victorious? That's the only way. It was through him is where our victory is. It's through him and in him is where our victory is. Any other way won't cut it. You can get down on your knees and lap it up like a dog, like straight out of the stream, but you ain't getting it done. You're just looking the part. You're not acting the part. You're not the inside. What was it, Jesus? They worship me with their mouths, but their heart is so far from me. And worship is so much more than our words. It's our thoughts, our actions. It's how we live every minute of every day. Are we going to be perfect? No. But you get that thing under the blood of Jesus Christ and it's gone. It's forgiven. We walk better next time. I know. I learn from my mistakes. I tell the people I work with. We all make mistakes every day. Point of the matter is to learn from them. Try not to do it again. Don't make it a habit. Then we have a problem. Do you want to live the victorious life? Do you want to be part of the army of God? This is how we walk. This is how we row, as my husband would say. This is how it's done. It's not impossible. We read all through the scripture, people who've done it. We read about some that didn't do it right. There's consequences for that. It can be done. I'm not here to put you down. I'm just simply letting you know how it needs to be done. The time has come. Are you going to be a friend or a foe? Pastor said Wednesday what we've been teaching for several weeks. It's time for a spiritual death in the church. Judgment always comes here first before it even goes outside this door to the unsaved. Choose who you're going to serve. Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for your word today. Thank you for the wisdom and understanding of thousands of years of the eternal one. Thank you, Father. Help us to apply it to our lives, Lord. Help us to go forward as strong men and women of God, gathering and snatching those away from the enemy. Our loved ones, the ones we meet every day, the ones that are taking their last breath. Give us that strength, Father Jesus, wisdom and understanding to be the people of God. Although we know we're not perfect and we're no surprise to you in that either, but you made a way through the blood of Jesus Christ. You made righteousness and holiness through him, so that I could be holy and righteous as well. But help me, Father, not to walk as timid and fearful. Help me to be bold and strong through you, through the cross, where my strength comes from. I look up high to you, Father. May these words take root in those that hear it and be a strength and a comfort in the time of need. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.